He is worthy. Praise is always appropriate. Amen. You and I should not get tired of praising him. We should not get tired of worshiping him. We should not get tired of adoring him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. We shouldn't put a time limit on how much praise we're going to give him. You know, we should be willing to scrap our agenda because he is worthy of praise. I'm telling you, y'all, he's worthy of praise. And praise has a way of doing something for you and me. For when we begin to praise, God begins to do some things. Shackles are broken when we begin to praise, when we begin to lift up the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. There are burdens that are being broken when we begin to praise and worship the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Did you know that there are ambushes that are being set up when you begin to praise the wonderful name of Jesus Christ? It's something about praising him that gets his attention, and it gets the attention of the angels. They're like, man, they worshiping our man. That's our God. They're on his side, and therefore, whatever they're asking for, we're willing to do. Praise is always appropriate, amen? And one of the great benefits that you and I have, that when we come together, we get a chance to praise together, amen? It's one thing for me to praise at home by myself. It's another thing when I come together with you brothers and sisters and we begin to praise together, lifting up our voices together in concert, in harmony. It is like the angels. You know how it is. When they saw him, they said, holy. And the other one said, not holy, and they're bouncing back and forth. That's what happens when you and I come together and we begin to celebrate the bigness and the greatness and the majesty of God, because he's allowing me to see one aspect and you to see another aspect. And when I shout about what I see and you shout about what you see, he shows me something else, and then he shows you something else. He's high and exalted, lifted up, the great Ancient of Days, the one who is full of light and full of wisdom. Him who sits high and who looks low, who's bigger than life itself. He starts to reveal to us who he is so that we can get excited and not worry about all this stuff that has us weighed down here. He says, lift your eyes and look up high. He says, set your heart and your mind on things above and not on things below. How do you do that? You start to praise him. You start to worship him. You start to adore him. You start to celebrate him for who he is, the risen King. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And the doors of the church are open. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This weekend, our country is celebrating Independence Day, where we declared freedom, independence from what we call a tyrannous country. We're happy about that. And all over the states, all over the country, you're going to see fireworks that are going up that are in celebration of the fact that we are a free nation. Brothers and sisters, you and I come today, we are a free people. Amen. We have been set free from the bondage of sin and death. We have been set free. We've been liberated so that you and I can live the lives that he has called us to live, created us to live. And hallelujah, we ought to send up some fireworks of praise right now. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Father, we do indeed thank you today for the goodness of who you are. We thank you, God, for your majesty, your sovereignty. We thank you, God, for your rule and your power. We thank you, God, for your compassion and your love. We thank you, O God, that, Lord, there is none like you. You're in a class all by yourself. We thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace that has been extended unto us. We thank you, O God, that you are the great I am. There is no malady that we suffer that, God, you can't address. We thank you, God. We thank you today for the privilege that you've given us to come together, to gather together. that, Lord, we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened, that, God, we might receive revelation from your word. We thank you today for fresh revelation, God. We thank you that, Lord, the freshness of your revelation gives life, just as, God, your manna provided strength to your people. We thank you today, O God, that you rain down upon us, God, with your precious Holy Spirit, and you give each one of us, God, what we stand in need of. God, I thank you, O Lord, that we are not hidden from you, but that you see us, you know us, and you are intimately acquainted with each one of us. We beseech thee in the name of Jesus Christ in this our time together that, God, you will speak to our hearts with clarity. Give us encouragement, insight. Help us, God, that we might stay in step with you. Thank you for your word that is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you. Thank you for giving us understanding. Now give us ears to hear, and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, the people of God said, amen. We are currently studying in the book of Revelation, and therefore that is where we will be camping out for a while. Amen. On this past Wednesday, we had an opportunity to discuss and talk about Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through, we made it to about 18 or so. Today, I want to return, read that again. Hopefully, you won't tire of reading it, but I want to read beginning with verse number 9 again. And we're going to read through verse number 18 and give attention to verses 17 and 18. Beginning with verse number 9. It says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Amen. And so in our few moments together, I just want to talk about Jesus, the risen King. Amen. Jesus, the risen King. Because John gives us a picture of this resurrected King that he sees who is talking to him. John says that he is on the island of Patmos. He has been banished there. He has been put there because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's living for God, testifying about Jesus and for Jesus. And as a result of that, he has been banished to a penal colony, an island that was designated for prisoners. Because of his labor in the kingdom, he has received hard labor on the earth. We don't get a description of John's emotional state, what he is going through in the process of having been banished to this island, away from his family, away from God's people. We just get that John is there and we understand why he is there. It is because of his faithfulness to the kingdom of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to be like John, that no matter what comes your way, make being faithful to God your top priority. Amen. No matter what judgments are launched at you, no matter what accusations come your way, no matter what kind of attacks come your way, whatever you do, stay fully committed to God through the person of Jesus Christ. Because he is your hope. He is the one who can see you through. What we discover is that while John is on the island of Patmos, it says on the Lord's day, he did what he would normally be doing if he had been at home. It says he was caught up in worship. We know that if John had not been on the island of Patmos on the first day of the week, on the Lord's day, John would have actually been in church somewhere. Amen. He would have been looking for a prayer meeting. He would have been looking for a group of believers that he could have gathered with so that they could have sang songs and hymns and so that they could have encouraged one another as they lifted up the wonderful name of God and exalted Jesus Christ. They would have come together so that they could have checked on one another to say, how has it been going this week? And they would have been encouraging one another that, you know what? He's coming back soon. Don't you get tired. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. He'll be back. And he sees you. He's going to reward you. He would have connected with the people of God because he understands that with the people of God, there is the presence of God like it cannot be alone. Amen. 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 He would have taken advantage of the fact that even if they had to do it undercover, he would have been sneaking through the caves and he would have been going around in the corners just so that he could connect with the people of God. Oh, how I wish that spirit returned to God's people today. Amen. Won't you join me? This is one of our takeaways, is that you and I begin to pray that the people of God begin to appreciate the opportunity that God has given us to assemble together, that we will not take it for granted, but that when we have an opportunity to come together, we'll make every effort to do so, and we'll come with a heart and with a mind that says that we've come to encourage one another. We've come to hear from God. We've come to celebrate the goodness of God, and we've come to receive from the one who gives life. Will you join me in just regularly praying that the people of God will begin to appreciate what God has given us, this thing called the church? Amen. See, we got to pray. We got to pray. God hears the prayers of his people. And when you see that Satan has so blinded individuals and caused us to be at such a place of where we are not making things that should be the priority, when we're not making them the priority, we need to say, God, open up some eyes. God, move in some hearts. God, move in some circumstances, because as long as the devil can keep you away from where God wants you to be, he's going to separate you from your blessing. So you've got to do that disciplined thing of saying, sometimes, even when it's difficult, I'm going to go where the people of God, amen, amen, and then it's going to be such so that wherever I go, you're going to know I'm a man of God. So that wherever I am, there will be that collection of the people of God around me, because you know how it is when we start to recognize one another. Mm-hmm, yeah, we start congregating. I'm going to scoot a little bit closer to you, right? And so I'm going to let my light shine so that men can recognize that I belong to the kingdom. Amen? Amen. I don't know if you've ever been riding down the highway, riding down the road, you will sometimes see motorcycles. Motorcycle drivers have this, apparently a pact, an unwritten rule, that when they see one another, they acknowledge one another. If you were to see one driving on the other side of the expressway and you on this side of the expressway, as they're meeting one another, you'll see them drop the little hand down so as to acknowledge that I see you, motorcycle rider. They may not know one another. All they know is that, oh, he's on a bike just like I'm on a bike. And they acknowledge their likeness. Oh, brothers and sisters, you and I got to get to that place of where when you and I start seeing somebody that knows Jesus and identifies Jesus, that you know what? We ought to go ahead and make that little connection. I don't know what it is, if we got to draw a sign or whatever. I can't say a word. I'll just wave my hand. We've got to make that connection because we need to be encouraged to know that you are not alone, and we need to be able to connect with one another because he has called us to walk together in this world that we might bring hope to others. Amen. When you have a way of connecting with other believers, it encourages your soul. Amen. Sometimes God has put on that believer to have a word for you today. And sometimes God has put on you to have a word for that individual today. Amen. And so we've got to go out not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but ready to be messengers for the kingdom of God. That means that you got to live ready. Amen. You got to live ready as an instrument. You got to live ready as a vessel and as a vehicle. You've got to be ready in season and out of season. You don't save your words, your testimony until you show up here. You got to be ready that whenever God says to you, now speak, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. So that means that you can't live a duplicitous life, right? Because you can't have a testimony talking about the goodness of God, but you live in and acting like he ain't all that good. Amen. 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 Ain't nothing worse than you getting a testimony from somebody that's saying, woe is me. Woe may be me, but don't let it overtake me. Right? That even in the middle of everything that I'm still going through, God is still good. That even if I have a limp, God is still good. Right? And so if I know that God is still good, I ought to act like God is still good. And when I'm walking and my pain becomes so bad that it becomes an expression that is on my face, I may need to stop and rest for a minute. Amen? Because I want my outward expression, I want my countenance to be such as this, that even though I'm going through, I know that he is with me. Amen? And so if I got to pause for a minute to catch my breath and regroup and turn my frown, that my smile that is turned upright side down, if I need to turn it right side up, I just need to pause for a minute. And while I'm standing there, let me just go ahead on and be strengthened in the spirit. Amen. While I'm standing there, let me just go ahead on and begin to call on the name of the one who brings me help. Right. So that while I'm there calling on his name, I'm going to be reinvigorated. I'm going to be revived so that I can be ready to be a messenger for the kingdom of God. John, on the Lord's Day, says that he is in the spirit and he has an experience. He says he hears a loud voice like that of a trumpet. He says that when he hears this, he turns around to see the voice that was speaking to him. And when John turns around to hear the voice that was speaking to him, he describes to the best of his ability what he sees. This is where we spent some time on Wednesday walking through, looking at the symbols and the images that John was able to talk about in terms of what he saw. I want to remind you that what we read is not what John saw. Okay? It's not what John saw. That's why he uses the words like. Like. He cannot find the words to adequately capture the majesty and the awesomeness of what his eyes are beholding. And so, with his limited vocabulary, he reaches into his bag of metaphors and says, it's like, it was like, and it was like. And as he's doing that, he is giving us bite-sized pictures of what is being revealed to him. And so as you read this, you can't actually capture an image of this and say, this is what John saw. But using symbols, it is representative of what John saw. And these symbols then have meaning to those with whom he was writing to. Amen? And so then as we study this and read through this, it is important that you and I understand what is he trying to communicate, which means that we got to keep going back. Keep going back, so you can't lay the Old Testament down. You got to keep going back. You got to keep picking it up because there is revelation in the Old Testament about what John was seeing. Amen? So John says, I turned and I looked, and I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone who looked like the Son of Man. And he said that he was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. And then his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. Keeping up with the word like, right? Like. Blowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth, a sharp, double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in all his brilliance. John said, when I saw all of this, I fell down because he's overwhelmed as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. There are just a few observations that I want to make from this, because we talked extensively about this on Wednesday, and we shall continue again on this upcoming Wednesday. Just a couple of observations that I want to make, because this is an image of the risen king. The risen king. I wanted to add to that the risen priest king. It's a picture of the risen king who is also a priest. Amen? He's a priest. When you see that picture of this divine description, he's in a robe that goes down to his feet, and it has a golden sash around his chest. It is description. It is a description of the attire that a priest would wear, right? Amen. It is description of the attire that a priest would wear. But this is the royal priest. Okay, this is our great high priest. This is our kingly priest. This is the one who has been raised and the one who presents himself to John. I got excited about this when I started thinking about John has been separated from his church
and from his family, and he's over here isolated on this island where he's been put because of his of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's been doing the right thing, but he's over here because of the judgment of men, because of what man has done to him. And John, who is now aged, he's no longer the young John, he's the old John, who is now aged, and he is weary in his age, but yet he continues to do what God has called him to do. That's why you and I, we got to keep going. We got to keep working. We got to finish the work that he has given us. There is no such thing. Can I tell you, child of God, there is no such thing as retirement when it comes to the kingdom of God. Amen. You retire to do what God has called you to do. You retire so that you can focus all of your attention on kingdom agendas. That's what you retire to do. John, an old man, now having been put over here in isolation, and the vision that he gets comes from his priestly king. Oh, that's good, because John needs to know that there is nowhere that you can be banished to that I don't see you. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, that gets me excited, because if it's true for John, isn't it true for me and you? He's saying to John, I don't care where your emotions take you. I'll be there too. All right. He says to John, I don't care where your mental state takes you. John, there is nowhere that you can go, that you can be banished from me, that I won't be there. And John, when I show up, I'm going to show you myself in a mighty way. I'm going to show you what I look like as the risen priest king. And so here it is, John, who may be worshiping, but yet may still be spiritually disturbed or emotionally disturbed. You've been there, haven't you? Haven't you? Haven't you been there where things are not right in your life, where you don't feel like things are going right, but you say, I will yet praise him? Amen. We don't praise on the basis of everything being perfect. Amen. No, we praise on the basis of the one who has us is perfect. Amen. It is not what we are going through that determines his worthiness of praise. It's simply because of who he is. And so no matter what John is going through, no matter what his mental or emotional state is, Jesus is able to find him. And that's good news for you and me, that you can be in your lowest state. I want you to know that he can find you. Amen. You can be at that place of where you have no more hope. But I want you to know that even in that place where there is no more hope, Jesus can find you. That's what I get excited about when I look at this. And it says that John on the island hears a voice as he is worshiping, and Jesus shows up to show him a picture of what he looks like, who he is. And it encourages John. Because John immediately, as he describes what he sees, John says, I fell down like him as though I was dead. But then he came over. Oh, this is good. He came over and touched me and said, do not be afraid. See, he comes to encourage you and to encourage me. That no matter what's going on in our experience, this is a reminder that he is an overcomer. Amen. This is a reminder that nothing, absolutely nothing can stop him. Amen. Look at the language that he uses. He says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Translation, I'm the beginning and the end. Translation, I'm the firstborn from the dead. Amen. Translation, I will indeed be the last one standing. Amen. Amen. He says, don't be afraid, because I'm the first and the last. I am what? The living one. Brothers and sisters, don't you know that the one that we serve, he's alive? He's not dead. We serve a living God. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a God who has eyes and he can see. We serve a God who has ears and he can hear. We serve a God who has hands and his arm is not too short. We serve a God who is alive. He's the living one. Hallelujah. Yes. That's why he says, don't you worship no idols, images made by men. He said they may have eyes, but they can't see. They may have ears, but they can't hear. In fact, you got to pick them up and carry them around with you. You can't carry me. I'm too big. You can't come up with an image that appropriately describes me. That's why I warn you, do not try to make an image of me. Because I am the great I am. Oh, and I can take on any shape that I want to take on and look any kind of way that I want to take. Look on, and if you try to put me in a box, I may show up looking one way, and because you're looking for something else, you might just miss me. I'm the living one. I'm alive. I'm alive. He says, the living one, and he gets better. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. Wait a minute. This is the risen King. Amen. The risen priest King. Amen. That death could not, what you say, Virgil, hold you? Help me out, because you know I'm terrible with lyrics. Oh, I can quote a scripture, but you give me a lyric, I'll mess it up. And then we'll tell them they wrong. Amen. What did it say? Death could not what? Hold you down. Why? You are the risen King. Seated where? In majesty. So it's like death, death tried to hold him down, but death couldn't hold him down. Why? Because he is the creator and the sustainer of life. He is the one who gives life. He is the author and perfecter of life. Death, who? Death, you can't hold me. So he says, I'm the living one. I was dead, but I'm alive forever and ever. So he's reminding John, just because you're here doesn't mean that you are forgotten. Ooh, that's a word for somebody. That's a word for somebody. Just because you are where you are in a place that seems like you're on a desert island, where he says, you are not forgotten. Woo! Listen. Your journey from where he called you, what did he say? That he will see you through, that he is the one that when he called you and he knew it, and he is going to see you too. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, from stumbling, and to present you faultless before your God. What he has started, he will see to completion. What he began, he will walk you through. Listen, just because you hit a dry patch in your journey, he didn't forget what he started. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm going to see you through. When you hit the dry patch, just keep on worshiping. When you hit the dry patch, just keep on walking. When you hit the dry patch, just keep on trusting, because you know that if you don't stop, you're going to make it through. Yes, you're going to make it through. Hallelujah. Because in the valley, in the desert, there's revelation from God. Ooh. Well, y'all gonna make me preach up in here. Don't you know that? That our revelation doesn't come on the mountaintop. Everybody wants to always be on the mountaintop. The God of the mountain is also the God of the valley. Amen. Amen. And even in the valley, don't you know that when the water, when the snow begins to melt, where does it go to? To the valley. Even in the valley, he's going to water you. Amen. Don't you know in the valley, you still got a lily who's right there? Why? Because he's the lily, what? Of the valley. Yeah. In the desert, in the dry places, you begin to discover this God who is a life-giving God, who has water for you, even in dry places. In the desert, in the dry places, you begin to experience this God who will draw water from a rock and give you what you need to drink to sustain you. Why? Because he is with you. He has promised that he will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh, that's why you and I have to stand on the word of God and not on the feeling. Amen? Amen? Because I don't always feel like, but when I'm standing on the word, I know that he is not a man that he should lie. When I'm standing on the word, I know that he watches over his word to perform it. When I'm standing on the word, I know that it always, always accomplishes what he intended, because his word never returns to him void. So I can stand on the word and trust in it, because it is a strong foundation, and I can make my feelings obey what the word has declared. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Wow. That last line, he says, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. The power of life and death is where? Is in his hand. He's got the keys. As a king, he's in control. Amen. As a priest, he's representing you. Oh, that's good news. The one who's in control is representing you. Oh, I think you missed that. He's large and in charge. He's the big boss. It all stops with him. Amen. As he says, the buck stops here. The one who is in control, the one who is able to command, the one who has this sword coming out of his mouth. You know that word, which is a double, the word of God is a double-edged sword. He's got that coming out of his mouth. The one who speaks, and when he speaks, it must be obeyed. He's the one who's representing you. He's the great priest who's representing you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Priest King is on your side. The risen King is on your side, and he'll see you through. See, John is on the island of Patmos, and he would think that, boy, this is it. But on this deserted place, it's not deserted, it's a populated place, but in this place where he has been isolated, it seems as though God has held his greatest message for John to be revealed in this unlikely place. Ooh, did you get that? You can't determine what God is going to do and how he's going to do it with your perceptions and visions. I'm pretty sure John did not expect to get this revelation in this place, because we expect to get great revelation somewhere else. But in him worshiping, God has saved this important revelation for John at this moment. Amen. And he meets him in a place where he's hard pressed, and yet he gives him this truth. I think this reveals something about the heart of God and the heart of John. And I'm trying to stop. I really am. It speaks to the fact that John has been faithful in his service. In his service to God. Right? Don't you know that we the church, we are the messengers. We carry the message of the kingdom. When God has a message for the nation, he comes to the church with his message. Remember, the church represents an institution, right? It is the body of believers. Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ represents the church. But remember, the church is made up of individuals, right? And then he has given a calling to each one of those individuals. But each one of us have been called to be priests. Remember, go back over to one of our earlier verses where he said he has made us to be kingdom of priests. That verse that you were supposed to be committing to memory about, we are a chosen priesthood, it talks about you and I are messengers of the kingdom. That's why you and I must invest time and energy studying the book so that we know the message of the kingdom. Why? Because when the world needs to hear about what God says, you're supposed to be a spokesperson for God. You're supposed to be able to accurately recount what God has said, what God has declared, and by his spirit illuminate those who are walking in darkness. But you can't do that if you're not spending time in the book. You've got to be reading the book. You've got to be studying the book. You've got to be eating the book. You've got to be digesting the book. You've got to be meditating on the book. And then you've got to allow the Spirit of God to give you illumination about what it is that you've read, studied, and meditated on. Why? Because you have been identified as a messenger for the kingdom of God. And he wants you and us, you and me, to be faithful in our service to him. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to be prepared. So when he tells us to open our mouths, we open our mouths and we speak with truth and we speak with accuracy and we speak with authority. So John had been a faithful servant, amen, to the Lord. From the moment Jesus left, John had been carrying the message about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. In fact, it is in the third chapter of John, verse number 16, where we get one of those verses that, you know what, everybody should know by heart. For God so loved the world, what did he do? I'm listening. Amen. Amen. You want to try it again? Can you see it? For God so loved the world, what? But have eternal life, everlasting life. Listen, these are the words of Jesus, right? John then, as a faithful messenger of the kingdom, takes these words, records them in the gospel that he has written so that all of mankind will know this truth that God has given, that his only son came that we might have life, that we shall not perish but have everlasting life. John was a faithful messenger. He had carried the message of Christ. He had lived the message of Christ. He had written the gospel of John. He had written some letters to the churches. John was faithful. And because John was faithful, I believe that God said, I can trust you with this message. Amen. Amen. Again, for you and me, that means that we've got to be faithful with the calling God has for us. Amen. Amen. We've got to be faithful with whatever he has assigned to our hands. We've got to be faithful to carry it out, because then when we are faithful, God says, oh, I know this one can be trusted. We don't have time to go there, but go ask Job. Amen. The reason Job was singled out was because God said, I can trust Job. Now, what Job went through was hard, which means that you may have to go through some hard stuff. But Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. This may be hard, but whatever I'm going through, he's got better for me. Jesus said, no matter what you give up, no matter what you sacrifice here on earth, listen, when you get to your place in glory, you're going to get it back 10 times over. Amen? Amen. That's what he says. He says, if you can be faithful, that he'll watch over you and he'll do the rest. John was faithful. And like John, you and I need to be faithful, because God is looking for faithful people. The eyes of the Lord search throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. What does he do when he finds them? He strengthens them, and then he sends them on. Amen? Amen. God says, I was looking for a man or a person to stand in the gap. God is looking for some people who are faithful that are willing to stand in the gap. Unfortunately, he said, I couldn't find none, so I had to do it myself. Don't make him do it again. He's called you and me to be able to stand in the gap. Let's be faithful. Amen? I think God sees John's faithfulness and says to John, I can trust you with this message. And therefore, he brings this one last assignment to John to be communicated to you and to me. And John, in the process of getting this assignment, getting this commission, is also encouraged by the fact that he is having an encounter with the risen King, who is his great high priest. When you get an opportunity, I want you to take some time to read. Go back and read Hebrews chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, because it talks about Jesus as a great high priest. Connects him with the life of Melchizedek, who was that priestly king. After you read Hebrews 5, 6 through 10, go ahead and jump over to Hebrews 7, verses 22 through 28, because he's still talking about this priestly king. Melchizedek, who was priest of God Most High, he was king of Salem, peace, and King of righteousness. Jesus Christ, this risen King, King of peace and King of righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 5, what you're going to discover is that Jesus made perfect, he became the source of eternal life for all who obey him. He's the source of eternal life for all who would obey him. And then he was designated by God to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Remember, Melchizedek had no beginning and he had no end. So this Jesus, eternal, having no beginning and having no end, he is a priest forever. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, what you'll discover is that Jesus has become the guarantee or the guarantor of a better covenant. So we have this covenant with God made perfect by Jesus. It says, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. This is the good part. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. I want you to grab this expression that I'm about to read and tie it back to what John describes as he saw Jesus. He said he had a head and hair that was like wool. It was white like wool. It was white like snow. It's talking about his radiance. He was like the sunshine. I want you to grab this and think about that imagery that John is using as you hear these words. It says, unlike other high priests, Jesus does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. No, he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Says that he is a high priest who truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners. He is exalted above the heavens. So when you think about that description that John is given, he is given one who is holy, a description of one who is holy. He's given the description of one who is pure. He is given a description of one who is exalted. He is given a description of one who is set apart, because there is no one like this Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was talking to Deacon Drain on Thursday after our Bible study, and he was talking about that whole bronze expression. You know, we started talking about bronze, and he was talking about that whole bronze idea. He said, man, when I read that, I said, man, he bigger than life. Ain't nobody like him. And that's right. There is nobody like this Jesus that you and I serve. Nobody, nobody, nobody like him. And Deacon Drain went on to talk about, you know how it is that, you know, right, you get an athlete who who has performed well, and they want to memorialize that athlete, you know what? They'll put a bronze statue of that athlete out in front of the stadium, right? Because they're trying to capture the likeness of that athlete to say that this person was a great athlete. He said, so when you think about this whole bronze thing, this dude bigger than life. Then I say, yeah, but that bronze statue can't move. Ain't that right? Jesus is bigger than life, but he's not nailed down and he doesn't need anything to hold him up. Why? Because he holds himself up. Amen? He's strong enough. He's firm enough. This idea of bronze represents his strength. I like the way Eugene Peterson described it this way. It says bronze is a combination of iron and copper. He said iron is strong, but it rusts. Copper won't rust, but it's pliable. He says when you combine the two in bronze, the best quality of each is preserved. So when you're looking at talking about his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. It says that you look at the rule of Christ is set on this foundation, set on this base. It is the foundation of his power tested by fire. Isn't that good? And when you start thinking about him and his feet, he's firm, he's strong, and the foundation of who he is cannot be moved. Amen? This is the risen King. This is the one who fights on your behalf and on my behalf. This is the one who looks at us and reminds us that he knows everything about us, but yet he loves us anyway. This is the one who says that I know your end from your beginning, and that I will be with you to get you to that place where I have called you to be here with me. This is the one that when he speaks, no one can unspeak what he has spoken. Because his word is final. This is the one who stands in the gap for you and for me, saying that I was dead, now I'm alive. All authority has been given unto me, and therefore I am with you. Therefore I will keep you. Therefore I will sustain you. Therefore, I will strengthen you. Therefore, I will renew you. Therefore, I will allow you to walk with me. Therefore, I will fill you with myself. And be with you and make my home with you. Amen. He is the risen King who is a priest for you and for me. Amen. Can the people of God just say amen, 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 amen.